Good morning, and welcome to Searching the Scriptures, brought to you by the Church of Christ that meets at Wasilla. We are located at 2061 North Merciful Circle. From the Parks Highway, take Seward Meridian, then turn right on Bogard Road. We're just past the Boys and Girls Club on the right. Our phone number is 373-5773, and our website is churchofchristwasilla.com. Come and study God's Word with us. We meet at 10 a.m. for Bible study, 11 a.m. and 5 p.m. for services, and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. Each week, we'll endeavor to help you grow by searching the Scriptures. 2 Peter 3:18 reads, "But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Please take out your Bibles and search the Scriptures with us this morning.
Welcome to Searching the Scriptures. I'm Wendell Fikes, and we invite you to stay tuned as we study the Scriptures together. We're encouraged by your interest in examining and searching the Scriptures with us each Lord's Day. Today's lesson is entitled, Angry Words. Angry words, oh let them never. From the tongue unbridled slip, may the heart's best impulse ever check them ere they saw the lip. So often, angry words are lightly spoken. That's the first stanza of Horatio Palmer's song, Angry Words. It was written in 1867. 146 years later, the song is still loved and continues to be sung in religious assemblies around the world. What is anger? Anger is a part of the emotional makeup of humanity. Anger, like other human emotions, must be controlled within the guidelines of God's Word and His instruction. Anger is defined as being painfully inflamed, intense displeasure. In the Old Testament, anger comes from a Hebrew word meaning wrath, rage, or an outburst of passion. In the New Testament, anger is most often translated wrath, and is a more agitated condition of the feelings, an outburst of wrath from inward indignation, according to Vine's dictionary. The English dictionary, the New World Dictionary, defines anger as a feeling of displeasure resulting from injury, mistreatment, opposition, and usually showing itself in a desire to fight back at the supposed cause of this feeling. Anger broadly applies to feelings of resentment or revengeful displeasure. Indignation implies righteous anger aroused by what seems unjust, mean, or insulting. Rage suggests a violent outburst of anger in which self-control is lost. Fury implies a frenzied rage and borders on madness. Ire, chiefly a literary word, suggests a show of great anger in acts, words, looks, etc. Wrath implies deep indignation, expressing itself in a desire to punish or get revenge. It's really important to note, all anger is not the same. Anger arises from a wide range of stages and degrees, depending on motives and degrees of self-control and of self-discipline. There's a kind of anger that is both good and right. The Bible says, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath," Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26. In this verse, the Apostle Paul makes three affirmations. 1. An individual can be angry. 2. An individual can be angry and not sin. And number 3. Do not let the sun go down while angry. Let's look at the first one. Paul declared that a person can express the emotion of anger without sinning. God's anger is exhibited in His righteous indignation against evil. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. The New Century Version translates Romans chapter 1 and verse 18 in this manner. God's anger is shown from heaven against all the evil and wrong things people do. By their own evil lives, they hide the truth. God's anger, His righteous indignation, was against all sin and ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who practice wrongdoing. The Scriptures reveal the Lord Himself was angered on occasions. In the book of Mark, chapter 3, the Bible relates the account of the Pharisees who were stalking our Lord. They were trying to catch Jesus violating the law of Moses. And in this instant, it was on the Sabbath day, and they were sneaking to see if the Lord would heal a man on the Sabbath day. The Bible says that Jesus looked around and looked at them, those Pharisees and those scribes, with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts. He said to the man with the withered or shriveled hand, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. Mark chapter 3 and verse 5. So the Lord became angry with righteous indignation at the attitude and the actions of the evil scribes and the Pharisees. On another occasion, when Jesus came to the temple in Jerusalem, he saw the commercialism that was taking place in the house of God. He was angered. The scriptures say, the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers doing business. When he made a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold doves, take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise. Then his disciples remembered that it is written, zeal for your house has eaten me up. John chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. Matthew chapter 23, verses 13 through 36, gives record of our Lord's final public address to the scribes and the Pharisees. You'll note this scathing rebuke came in the final week of our Lord's life before he was crucified on Friday. In righteous indignation, Jesus spoke directly to the scribes and the Pharisees. He pronounced 8 woes against them. 7 of those woes ended in, woe, you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Some scholars use words like blistering, most terrific, most awful, terrible, to describe the most penetrating, the most severe denunciation of any words that ever fell from our Savior's lips. Quickly we will read and note some of these woes. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Verse 13 of Matthew chapter 23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he's won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You pay tithe of mint, anise, and cumin, and you have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Verses 23 and 24. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Verse 25. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! Because you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous, and say, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Therefore you are witnesses against yourselves that you are the sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up, then, the measure of your father's guilt. Serpents, brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell? Therefore, indeed, I send you prophets, wise men, and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify, and some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, that on you may come all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Assuredly, I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation. Verses 29 through 36. Yet at the same time, Jesus passionately loved these scribes and the Pharisees. His anger and indignation was against their practice, not against them. And how do I know that he loved them? This is reflected in his final words to them. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I would have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. The Lord's anger and righteous indignation was for God's honor and God's righteousness. When Jesus was personally abused, he refused to be provoked. We must be angry with the same evil and wrongdoing that angers God. But when we become angry, we must always exercise self-control and self-discipline. Self-control and self-discipline is absolutely necessary for us to exercise lest we fall into temptation and sin while we're angry. Be strong enough to control your anger instead of letting your anger control you, someone said. Number two, an individual can be angry and not sin. The key to being angry and not committing sin is make sure your anger is motivated out of righteous indignation, not out of jealousy and vengeance. We must look to Jesus as our example, as the Scriptures teach. We should follow in His steps. Deceit was not found in His mouth. When He was cursed, He did not reply with a curse. When He suffered, He did not threaten. Instead, He committed Himself to the one who judges righteously. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 23. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Romans chapter 12 and verse 19. The Scriptures provide each of us with instruction and warning to control our anger and the outbursts of hot-headed, flying-off-the-handle temper tantrums. Such anger is condemned severely by God. Selfish, vengeful anger is sinful. The Scriptures say, put off all anger, wrath, malice. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 8. James wrote, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger or slow to wrath. James chapter 1 and verse 19. The expression let be is imperative and commands us to speedily hear. Slow to start talking. Not slow talk, but slow to start talking. Slow to wrath or slow to anger. Wrath is violent emotion resulting in uncontrolled anger and improper indignation, and causes the individual who is overcome by such anger to be incapable of receiving the truth of God. Those with bitterness, malice, and hatred in their hearts will not listen to God. In a secondary sense, those who are filled with anger lose ability to reason with others until that angry emotion is brought under control and calmed. No one can be reasonable and angry at the same time. Someone said, form the habit of closing your mouth firmly when angry, and that's good advice. Whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. Proverbs chapter 16, verses 32 in the English Standard Version. Let me share with you some quotes worthy of repeating. Anger is just one letter short of danger. When a man is wrong and won't admit it, he always becomes angry. Speak when you're angry, and you will make the best speech you will ever regret. Observe some wisdom from Solomon. Be not quick in your spirit to become angry, for anger lodges in the bosom of fools, Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 9. A man of quick temper acts foolishly, and a man of evil devices is hated, Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 7. Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a quick temper exalts folly, Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 29. A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention, Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 18. A fool openly lets his anger be known, but a prudent man keeps quiet about dishonor, Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 16. Let's look at it in a couple of other translations. A fool is quick-tempered, but a wise person stays calm when insulted. Fools quickly show that they are upset, but the wise ignore insults. Good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 11. Observe a few synonyms and phrases used to identify an angry person. He or she is said to be ballistic, enraged, fuming, furious, incensed, indignant, inflamed, infuriated, irate, livid, mad, outraged, steamed up, teed off, ticked, wrathful, bent out of shape, blue in the face, fit to be tied, or hot under the collar. Anger that is not quickly controlled before the sun goes down often results in horrific crimes. For example, the scriptures say Cain, the first son of Adam and Eve, became angry with his brother Abel. Cain's anger turned violent. Abel was a keeper of sheep, a shepherd, but Cain was a farmer. In time, Cain brought an offering of his produce to the Lord. Abel brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. The Lord accepted Abel and his offering, but he did not accept Cain and his offering. Cain was very angry. So the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry?" Cain was, the Bible says, the scriptures reveal, greatly inflamed with anger. Note verse 8. While they were in the field, he killed Abel, his brother. Genesis chapter 4, verses 2 through 8. A man by the name of Christopher Dorner was let go by the Los Angeles Police Department. And sometime later, according to the news, in a rage of anger, killed 4 people. King Herod's anger turned to murder. Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod. The scriptures say that wise men from the east came to Jerusalem looking for the Christ. When Herod the king heard, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him, because it had been prophesied this Christ child would be king. So he called the wise men secretly to him and tried to find out what time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and gave them this instruction: "Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you found him, bring word back to me, that I may come and worship him also." They found the Christ child and his mother Mary in Bethlehem. They opened their treasures. They presented him gifts. Then the Lord divinely warned them in a dream that they should not return to Herod. They departed for their own country. And an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and told him to take the young child and his mother and flee to Egypt and stay there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When Herod found out these actions, he was exceedingly angry and sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts from 2 years old and under. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. What's Paul teaching? He simply says, free yourselves from anger before sundown. Before it gets dark, remove your anger. Do not allow your anger to spend the night in your mind. Don't go to bed angry. Here stanza three of the song Angry Words. Angry words are lightly spoken. Bitterest thoughts are rashly stirred. Brightest links of life are broken by a single angry word. Surely, each of us at one time or another are haunted by hurtful words we've said while we were angry and mad. I'm sure each of us would desire the opportunity to reach out and grab those words said in anger and reel them in and destroy them into obscurity. But such is not possible. However, God's marvelous grace has been revealed to us through the Scriptures. Everyone who will believe God's redemptive message and turn from his or her sins in repentance and be willing to confess that Jesus is the Savior, the Son of God, and then obey the command to be baptized, immersed in water, can have all sins washed away. Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. In that way, every angry word is blotted out by the blood of the Lamb of God, never to be remembered again. Let not angry words slip from your lips. I'm Wendell Fikes. Thank you for listening. Until this same time next Sunday morning, we bid you a pleasant good day.
We hope you have been encouraged and will continue your study of God's Word. Please join us again as we search the Scriptures so that we may grow thereby. 1 Peter 2, verse 2. Please remember that you are cordially invited to come and study God's Word with us at 2061 North Merciful Circle. From the Parks Highway, take Seward Meridian, then turn right on Bogard Road. We're just past the Boys and Girls Club on the right. Our meeting times are Sunday morning Bible study for all ages at 10 a.m., followed by Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. and evening worship at 5 p.m. Our midweek Bible study for all ages is on Wednesday at 7 p.m. If you have any questions concerning the lesson presented, would like additional study material, a home Bible study, or a DVD copy of today's lesson, please visit us at churchofchristwasilla.com. There, you'll be able to download this radio program and other sermons free of charge and listen on demand. That's churchofchristwasilla.com. You can also contact us by calling 373-5773. Thank you for listening and searching the Scriptures with us this morning.